Welcome to the BetUS College Football Show. It is the Tuesday, January 2nd edition of the show. Yes, the last snap in the final CFP semifinal game ended about 12 hours ago, but we are ready to preview the national championship game. I'm your host, Gary Seegers. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at GaryWCE, or I am on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, at Winning Cures over there. What an absolutely wild college football playoff yesterday. We were able to witness potentially two of the, you know, top six or seven greatest semifinal games in the CFP's short 10-year history. Let me go ahead and introduce our experts to discuss what happened and what's going to happen in Houston between Washington and Michigan in just six short days. On the left side of the screen, of course, our numbers guy, our analyst. I call him the numerical guru. He is at Stats of War on Twitter, Parker Fleming. Parker, somehow, we didn't end up with either Texas or Alabama in the national championship, even though I was told that this whole thing is rigged. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, tough days for the Vegas nose crowd, as the teams that didn't get the most money both ended up taking care of business last night. But yeah, a couple good games yesterday. Not just the playoff semifinals, which were great games, but LSU Wisconsin was one of the more fun bowl games, I think, of the season there. And yeah, so a rough day of handicapping for me yesterday, but you take the wins, you take the losses. A great day of football, all the same. So excited about this matchup next Monday. This national championship looks to be pretty stout between two teams that are, I'm sure we'll talk about, wildly divergent in terms of scheme and style.
No, I think you are dead on there. Dead on there. On the right side of the screen, of course, handicapper of the decade, our award-winning professional handicapper. He is at Kyle Hunter Picks on Twitter. Kyle Hunter, my friend, it is 2024, so the national title between Michigan and Washington is officially just a Big Ten conference game. Is that right?
That's right, and that's wild. Wouldn't it be weird, the worst way possible, for the Pac-12 to finally get into the national title game? What is their last game? But great games yesterday. Like you said, we had some terrible bounces. Kind of used to that this season. You know, we've seen this happen enough times at this point. But fantastic games. You know, if you want a drama in the playoffs, we definitely got every bit of that yesterday.
Oh, we got so much drama, so much drama. And we are going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about the national title matchup and whatnot. Before we kick all that off, though, let's get that truck graphic up there so that I can go on and give you a rundown on exactly how you can win that thing. BetUS celebrating its 30th season by giving away one tough truck. You can visit betustv.com/toughtruck for more information. Of course, you guys all should know, here on the College Football Show, we're giving away one entry per show to win the truck, along with some other fun prizes, right? Tailgating packages, tickets to football games, etc. The key, of course, you got to be watching live, and you got to be a member at BetUS. You can do that by visiting betustv.com/join. Parker, if people want to win this truck, tell them what they need to do today.
Super easy. All you got to do is be a member at BetUS. You got to be subscribed to the channel so you can get in the chat, and you just need to say in the chat which of the three of us, Parker, Gary, Kyle, you think has the golden ticket. After we do some talking about football, we will reveal which one of the three of us, randomly selected and definitely not rigged, has the golden ticket. And then from there, our producers will pick one person who guessed right, and that lucky person will get an entry to win that truck and some other good prizes.
You got it. So, of course, in the chat, tell us who's got the golden ticket. Myself, Kyle, or Parker. That's how you do that thing. I see Ed is already in there. Natalie, of course, Happy New Year, of course. Let's see. Who else? Search, Thomas Train, Brock. Brock jumps in, very disappointed in Alabama. Another failure season. Boy, our expectations are wild down in Tuscaloosa, aren't they? Kyle, could you do me a favor? Can you tell everybody how they can, you know, help out the channel, help support what we do here?
Hit that thumbs up button. That's the easiest way to do it right away. And that helps us a lot. Also hit the notifications bell so you know when we're going live. Obviously, we'll go live again next week on a different day than we usually do. So give this a thumbs up and hit that notifications bell and you'll know when we are live.
Most certainly. Of course, as always, do the same thing for Jared, Fez, and Chris over on the BetUS NFL show. They are with you every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And let me give a quick shout out to the BetUS NBA and the college basketball shows. I mean, those guys have been straight cashing tickets for the last month plus. So if you're into the round ball, go and catch those shows as well. Those seasons run way longer than this one. Let's go on and recap our records thus far this season. We got to do it. We stay transparent here. Bowl season was going swimmingly, And then we had an absolute disaster at the end. I finished 6-8-1 in bowls. So I am 48-54-4 on the season. Kyle went 7-5 in bowls. He is now 39-43-2. And Parker was 5-3 in bowl games and then closed 0-7 in bowl season with an 0-3 in that Alabama game. It just, so he finished 46-49-4 on the year. That's 133-146-10. Just a complete debacle. But hey, we're not going to lie to you. I mean, we're just going to tell you like it is. We are not scared of the record. Some years you have great, great results, and others you do not. So the main point of this show is to give you information, and you can choose what to do with that on your own. All right. You can, of course, get in on the action at betustv.com/join. And if you want to track the odds along with us, you can visit betustv.com/odds. If you're watching live, we always do a Q&A segment from the chat to close things out. Toss in your questions in the chat. Whether it can be about anything, coaching changes, the national championship game, what to make of the recruiting stuff, whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. All right, fellas, let's start this off by recapping the semifinals, and we'll start with the Rose Bowl between Michigan and Alabama. Michigan won 27-20. They trailed 20-13 with less than 5 minutes left in the game. Michigan was favored the entire time over Alabama. We found that a surprise. They closed as a 2-point favorite with a total of 45. And I know that the game would have played differently if certain things happened differently. But, boy, we are all kind of peeved about a botched extra point by Michigan that really could have resulted in a 21-20 final score, which would mean no overtime, Alabama plus 1.5 cashes, the under would have cashed, et cetera. But that is the kind of season that it's been for us, right? Let me start on my diatribe. You guys know I want to take this one. Michigan basically took the Georgia game plan and used it to perfection against Alabama. They did not allow the explosive passes because they routinely brought six, and they didn't let plays develop for Jalen Milroe, right? The Tide had snap issues, too. Michigan kept a nose tackle in front of the center, McLaughlin, and they really made him uncomfortable. Minner's defense, they were able to use some different looks. They brought pressure from different places. They got six sacks on Jalen Milroe, and if you start looking at sack-adjusted rushing yards, 221 is what Alabama had if you take out the sacks. You take away the 49 yards, they ended up with 172. I did think that it was interesting that Michigan really couldn't run the ball on the Alabama defense until late in the game or at certain points in the game. McCarthy ended up with 221 passing yards and three touchdowns, and the Wolverines only had 130 rushing yards on the day. For Bama, the whole reason they were in the game was special teams, even though Kendrick Law tried to bring the ball out on a couple of kickoffs, which I found interesting, that led to two drives that started at the 16 and the 14. Michigan muffed two punts. The first one led to an Alabama touchdown. The last one at the end of the game, that was on their own goal line. I mean, it would have been the most ridiculous way to lose ever. And just a tip for the kids, set your heels at the 10-yard line. If it goes over your head, just let it go. I mean, this is basic stuff. Parker, I want you to give me your thoughts, and then Kyle, I want to hear from you on this one. What did you guys see? What stood out to you in the Rose Bowl?
I think the thing that stood out the most to me, Gary, is just, I mean, look at Alabama's offensive line in this game. Their grades from right to left, right tackle, 74.3, PFF grade, right guard, 85.5, center, 42.9, left guard, 22.2, left tackle, 38.3. That just frankly is not going to be enough. I mean, Alabama survived in that first half. I think they got outplayed, had less than 100 yards of, less than 100 yards of offense, and still were down three getting the ball back. They did almost everything they needed to do in the second half until, I mean, that Milroe fumble, I think, really kind of set up just the completely wiped out any, you know, if you believe in momentum, any kind of momentum that they might have had, and really gave Michigan an opportunity to claw back, which is a little bit ironic because Michigan had plenty of opportunities to score and pull away and really couldn't do it. And, you know, football's game of inches, and it really came down to that. I think the pass blocking for Michigan or for Alabama was really what struggled the most, because, you know, Milroe was able to get off a couple of those deep throws, but they were mostly heaves. I feel like they made him have to make decisions, slow him down, forced him into conflict, all the things we talked about not wanting to do. And yeah, I think that really is the deciding factor for me there. Does hurt, because I do think that, you know, I don't want to look back at every loss and be like, oh, this is a good play. Like, I can say Iowa yesterday, right? Iowa, stupid play, dumb, shouldn't have done it. Can totally own that, right? But like this one, I'm like, hey man, I had this projected as a 1-point game and it went to overtime because of mixed extra point. Like, we would have had a collective, what, 5-6-0 on that if Michigan made an extra point and nothing else had changed, which I understand is a big thing. But yeah, overall, I think Alabama, the takeaway for Alabama is that they were what we thought they were all season, which was an immensely talented team who was sloppy at some key positions. And it really came down to those key positions, namely the offensive line and namely Milroe's ability to process in traffic, which really, really kind of got them. I thought the defense did about everything you could have wanted out of that game. You know, obviously on those last drives would have loved to stop, but Michigan was absolutely cooking with some of that, those crossing routes and getting guys in space. And J.J. McCarthy, to his credit, led a game-winning drive. I think we talked about last week how he hadn't had any kind of negative game script all year, and after a rough start, he definitely stepped up and showed that he can do that. So I thought that was huge. It's exactly what Michigan needed.
And three rushes for him for 25 yards, really key spots, and he did look fantastic. I mean, he was way, way better than he had been in the last month of the season. Kyle, what about you? Everything Parker said is, I feel like, 100% right about this Alabama team. Immensely talented, really sloppy at key spots. That fumble from Milroe, I felt like was the, you know, Parker talked about momentum. It made Michigan, even though they missed that field goal, it made Michigan believe that they could come back and win the ballgame. I think that was the biggest thing there. What did you take away from it, Kyle?
I mean, I think it was a pretty evenly played game in a way. I mean, obviously the special teams for Michigan allowed Bama to have a much better shot. Both teams really did well with their opportunities in the scoring. I mean, 5.25 points per opportunity for Michigan and 5 for Alabama. I mean, I think the under was a really good play. You know, afterwards, you go back and look at that. I would definitely bet that just as big, if not bigger, if they played again tomorrow. And from the other side, the havoc rate really stands out. Of course, we know Alabama's offensive line was struggling terribly in the first half. Havoc, Michigan 24.6% defensive havoc, and Alabama 13.6. You know, I think McCarthy was pretty good. I think it is fair to say that, you know, that tipped ball was such a huge play where Robin Wilson really made that play. I don't blame Alabama's defender for thinking he was about to pick that off based on the tip. Kind of a fluke play. We also have to give Harbaugh credit for going for it on 4th-and-2. That was a gutsy call. You know, there's a decent amount of coaches in college football right now that would have punted and say, you know, 3 timeouts, let's go back, get ready. We can come up with a stop. I think it hurt Alabama quite a bit that the passing game's just not more efficient than it is with Milroe, because, you know, what do you get, 116 yards of passing? And Alabama, they just have to have a little bit more of a passing threat, because Michigan was kind of just daring them to beat them with the pass, and they really couldn't do it. I think that going back and looking on it, Michigan, they almost, like Gary said, you almost lost that game in the most unbelievable way ever if there was a safety there, if the muffed punt. But I think Michigan's probably a slightly better team than Alabama. If I were to project forward, I think it makes sense that they were favored by what they were. You know, it's really unfortunate for us that it went the way it did, because, you know, either of things, it was 2013. If Bama could come up with a stop, finish the game right there, we win everything. Or, you know, the missed extra point, and then it ends up, you know, overtime ends up beating the under just barely, and then Alabama with a loss in a close game. Two teams are fairly even. I think Michigan tried. I mean, Michigan had some pretty big mistakes that almost cost them the game. And yet Alabama just quite couldn't hold on. Two flawed teams. None of these teams in college football are tremendous this year. And that's not a knock on anybody. I don't think there's any amazing team out there this year. But fantastic game. A lot of fun to watch for sure.
In the chat here, of course, Thomas Train jumped in. He said, bad snaps totally disrupt those RPOs. Yeah, Milroe certainly, it didn't help that McLaughlin had multiple bad snaps. And once he started to have some issues, which he's had them basically all year, but once Michigan keyed on it and they put that nose tackle over the top of him, I mean, they were really messing with him. So it didn't work out well. Brock in the chat jumped in, said, guys, the last play of that game was a good call for Milroe. He said Tommy called a great play, just didn't execute. JC Latham got pushed back into Milroe by a 245-pound man. This is true. Michigan did a good job on that play, but the play was there, right? Milroe, if the snap had not been bad and he didn't panic, I'm not even worried about the passing, right? Obviously, you've got the running back coming out of the backfield. That's one option. But the other option was to follow your guard over on the other side. And, I mean, you had a matchup advantage there. So it's a game of inches, as Parker would say. It is a game of inches. And, yeah, we lost the bets. We lost the bets. But that's okay. I will tell you, I'm a little bit happy that that Alabama didn't win the game. Because had they won, I would be joining my father in Houston. So I was going to have to try and figure out a whole lot of mess for next week. So now I get to just enjoy college football and I don't have to travel. And that makes a whole lot of difference for me. Let's go on and talk about the late game here, the Sugar Bowl, between Washington and Texas. And this game was drunk, which makes sense because it happened in New Orleans, right? Let's start with this. It was an absolute sham that they started this thing as late as they did. And we've talked about the Rose Bowl and their traditions and the haughtiness, all that kind of mess before. But this was the latest example of why we need some kind of central governance in this sport. There's no reason that we should be up watching a CFP game until after 1 a.m. Eastern time on a work night for the majority of the country. So regardless, slight rant over there. We did get a ridiculous ending to a game that it felt like Washington had won multiple times. But when your defense isn't great and you settle for field goals, when you've got the ball inside the opponent's 10-yard line twice and the other was around the red zone, 20, 23, whatever it was, those things can catch up to you, right? In Texas, they still got the ball on their own 31 with 45 seconds left and had four plays from the Washington 12 and the 13-yard lines with a chance to tie the game and win it with an extra point. I will tell you, at certain points in this game, it felt like Texas got away from the run. They had a just ridiculous, I think it was 69% rushing success rate for the game. And I know that they were playing catch-up in the second half. It's not like they didn't have success throwing it, but it kind of felt like they had more opportunities to kind of suck some of the air out of the game, keep the ball away from Penix and company. Obviously, turnovers did not help that. Kyle, I want you to start on this one, and then Parker after that. What stood out to you in this one?
I mean, this, like you said, just an absolute drunk game because it felt like it was completely over for so long. And then you look at the end, you're like, oh, my gosh, is this actually about to happen? I mean, it almost did. And I would have felt really bad for Washington if they lost that game. I mean, because I do feel like Washington deserved to win the game. Look, this is a great coaching staff for Washington. They definitely made some mistakes there at the end of the game. Texas should not have had as much time, even if they just ran the ball a couple times. It really didn't matter if you got yards. They had to run a couple times. And when they settled for field goals earlier in the game, I thought that they ran. Remember the one where they ran three times in a row and then kicked a field goal? Like, Penix was just cooking. There was no way they were going to stop him. You just got to go ahead and get your touchdown. They kept it a little closer than it needed to be. In that case, Washington deserved to win, in my opinion. I think it's also interesting that Texas gets down to, the 12-yard line. They have four plays. And I know Parker tweeted about this last night. It's kind of like where Texas had been all year. Like, they get in this spot, and it's like, what are they going to do? And really, they came up with some terrible plays there. Those were some really bad attempts to score a touchdown there. The one, my favorite, or the funniest, when Quinn Ewers threw it to the running back off the side, it's like, oh my gosh, he almost just ended the game right there. I don't know what was going on that one. Good
play. I actually, Kyle, on that one, immediately rewound it because I thought maybe it's a little late. maybe they're on the far left hash and Sark wanted to set up their attempt on the right hash, but they were on the right hash and they ran that play to the boundary. Like, I don't understand what the intent of some of that was for sure.
Right. I mean, and the last play, a really good play by the DB to knock it away like that. That was probably the best attempt by Texas. Good defense on that one. But I think Washington did look like the better team to me. I don't think it was, flukish in any way that they were ahead. I think it was almost a fluke that they lost. Penix is great. I mean, he was absolutely dealing for such a long time. And when you have that many good receivers, you're playing on a fast track. Texas's defense, really strong at the defensive line, not great in the secondary. This Washington, very, very good offensively. When you get the Boer, Grubb, and Penix together, it's a scary matchup.
This defense, Parker, I mean, the Washington defense, bend but don't break, right? And as much as you have talked about Texas and their red zone woes, they got down to the 13 with first and 10 on the drive before that. That they were down, 37-28? And they had first and 10 at the Washington 13 with a minute 19 left and had to settle for a field goal from the 7 on that one. Had you scored a touchdown on that one, then if you get the ball down to the 13 again next time, you can kick a field goal on that one. It was the same thing all year. They were not good in red zone touchdown percentage. They just could not stick it in there from, inside the 20-yard line for whatever reason. Parker, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I was shocked at how many people were surprised that Quinn Ewers isn't great at throwing the ball 20-plus yards down the field. Like, it was shocking to me to see people tweeting about that after the ball game. What'd you make of this one?
Yeah, I think he ended up having three of those passes, and two of those were like desperation kind of into the game, just checking and trying to get together. So again, really, yeah, you can tell people on Twitter, like, people say like, oh, you don't know ball. This was an example where, like, legitimately, if you were talking about Quinn Ewers downfield, you just hadn't watched Texas, because like, that's not what they do. Steve Sarkisian has been saying it for years that, started out with that clinic where he was like, Jaylen Waddle and I are the same speed, standing still. And so like, he wants to get those guys in conflict, moving. He wants the ball shorter. Quinn Ewers deep. I mean, they had a couple drops. I think I'd say two or three of those were, close to on the money, but especially at the end of the game there, I just didn't like the, make your quarterback have to make a precision throw in a high leverage situation when that's really not what he's great at. So Texas has been, sub 100 and finishing drives all season. We, basically since the Alabama game, that's been on my radar as, they left a lot more on the table than they should have. And they made things hard for themselves all season and it came down to it and they just couldn't finish it. So that makes a lot of sense. On the other side of the ball, I really liked the versatility of Washington's offense. I mean, we know the receivers, McMillan, Odunze, Polk, like all really, really good. But Jack Westover had 8 targets and 59 yards, like his second best game of the season and arguably his best in terms of involvement. I just like they were able to kind of move the ball around there and get some folks involved there. Penix, no turnover worthy plays, 11 yards per attempt. They only had one drop. Just a great passing performance overall. And I liked the versatility there, kind of the responding from them. I do agree that there were some head scratching moments in the second half with regards to kind of what Washington was doing. I don't think they scored a touchdown on the scripted drive and then everything else was field goals or nothing. And so certainly stalled out when, you have that passing offense. I'm inclined to believe that you should just keep scoring if you can. So I don't know if they didn't think they could or if they were trying to manage the game a little bit, but they definitely gave Texas a chance to get back into it. But a great passing performance. Excited to see them against the Michigan passing defense. I won't go too into my handicap there, but I mean, Michael Penix was pressured on 39% of his dropbacks, but still had a 77.4 grade there. And so was still able to create. I mean, there's a couple highlight reels of Penix dodging pressure and making a throw. I really like that. We'll see if Michigan, who did so much internal pressure against Alabama will be able to kind of mess with Pennix on the edges, but given that Texas was mostly internal pressure too. So really great performance from Washington's offense all around, and the defense, you know, did what they needed to. I really big props to Muhammad for he got hurt, kind of came down that shoulder on that one-on-one with Mitchell, and they had a timeout, so they burned it, which is smart. He, you know, was able to recover, and they did what they needed to down the stretch. So great performance from Washington all around, complete. Nice to see that they kind of got it back together with some time to get healthy and some time to prepare. I think as similar to the Rose Bowl, the better team did win this game, even though they tried to give some opportunities for the other team to come back and win.
Most certainly. I understand what they were trying to do by running the ball. You know, I get it, because they had 39 pass attempts and 31 rushes. So it's this constant game of, we're going to threaten with the run, even though it doesn't work most of the time, in order to keep your safeties honest, right? We're going to make sure that we can still hit those deep passes, because you're not going to know what we're doing one direction or the other. You have to at least somewhat respect Dylan Johnson and what they were doing with that offense. I would have preferred that they threw it a little more, because I felt like there were more options open. It was just kind of weird. But overall, incredible game. Incredible finish, for sure. Quick reminder, hit that like button for us if you've not already. Make sure that you are subscribed to the channel, and hit that notification bell, of course, and leave a comment. We would like to see your comments in the comment box, or whatever that thing is called, on YouTube there. And we want to know what your pick is for this national title game and what you thought about that stuff. For you watching live, of course, toss in your guess for who's got the golden ticket. That way you can be entered to win the truck. Of course, you saw the truck coming across the screen there, along with all the other prizes, right? Tailgate party kits, etc. Go ahead and make sure and put in there, Parker has the ticket, or Kyle has the golden ticket. Whatever it is, put that in the chat for us, and see if you can get entered in to win the truck. Don't forget about the Q&A segment at the end of the show. You can put in a question there, and we'll do our best to answer each and every one of those. All right. Don't forget about the podcast, right? The BetUS Football Show, in your favorite podcast app, and of course, the NFL Show every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. All right, let's get to it. The national title game, Monday on January the 8th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN, live from NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. We got the number 2 undefeated Pac-12 champion Washington Huskies taking on the number 1 undefeated Big Ten champion Michigan Wolverines for the College Football Playoff National Championship. Michigan, currently a 4.5-point favorite at BetUS. The total is 55.5 here. Whew. Money line, by the way, in case you are interested, +163 for Washington, and Michigan is -190. So implied odds there, Michigan around 66%, I believe. As far as injury news is concerned, we've only had 12 hours since the final snap of the Sugar Bowl, so we don't have everything in stone as of yet. But just a heads up, we will be here on Monday, January 8th, live at 1 p.m. Eastern time on, of course, the BetUS College Football Show to go over prop bets, latest injury information, etc. So make sure and join us live for updates before the game that evening. We do know this. The Washington running back, Dylan Johnson, was carted off the field as the team celebrated their win over Texas. And that his injury is one of the reasons why Texas had so much time to be able to get back. That's a weird rule in football, but it is what it is. And we know that Michigan is still not going to have the right guard, Zach Zinter, who is out for the season after an injury in the Ohio State game Thanksgiving weekend. Neither of these teams has been in a championship setting since the 90s. So there is no trend as far as that goes. Washington has been an underdog 5 times under Kalen DeBoer in the last 2 years. They are 5-0 straight up in those games. Now, 4 of them were to Texas and Oregon. All 5 were to Texas and Oregon. So I don't know what that necessarily means, because none of those teams is anything like this Michigan team. Washington, 5-2-1 against teams with a winning record this year. Michigan, 5-1-1 against the number in those same situations against winning teams. As far as the total is concerned, Washington has had 4 games with totals in the 50s. They had 2 overs and 2 unders. All of their other games were higher than that. They were all in the 60s plus. Michigan has had 5 totals in the 50s. with two overs and three unders, and all the rest of their games were in the 40s, except for the 36 in the Iowa game, which was just absurd. Let's go unit by unit here. Let's do a real deep dive. We'll start with the strength on strength, right? Likely the matchup most people are excited about, and that would be the Washington offense against the Michigan defense. Washington's wide receiver core, potentially the best in college football. If it's not the best, I mean, it's right there with Ohio State, who Michigan has already played and beaten. The difference, of course, Washington has Michael Penix to pair along with Odunze and or Odunze, I think that's how you say it, Polk and McMillan. To me, you know, the matchup to watch is Michigan's front seven against Washington's offensive line. This is just brute strength on brute strength. These guys are fantastic. Kyle, I want to start with you here. Washington losing Dylan Johnson, I think, could be massive. He had 56.8% of the team's rushing attempts on the season. He had 222 attempts. The next closest was the freshman Tybo Rogers. He had 43. The sophomore Will Nixon had 31. Rogers carried five times for 19 yards against Texas, but he didn't play against Oregon in the Pac-12 title game, and Will didn't play against Texas. So, interesting. What are you looking for on this side of the ball? What do you expect that we're going to see from this Michigan D against the Huskies offense?
I think Washington's really good in pass blocking in general. They are top five pass blocking grade. Penix has done a good job even when blitzed. I think it'll be interesting to see how much pressure Michigan tries to bring here, because Penix is definitely better than the average quarterback at getting rid of the ball pretty quickly. They have plenty of short routes. Sometimes their passes are almost an extension of a run, you know, some of those quick swing passes. And I do think Johnson, you know, it showed how much they don't really have anybody behind him, because he was clearly hurt and they went ahead and kept running with him at the end of the game. And of course, that ended up almost biting them really badly there. And I certainly hope Johnson's okay. It didn't look very good there. I do think, you know, Washington being so good in pass protection is key. And I mean, they have a center who can snap the football a lot better than Alabama did yesterday, obviously. So, yeah, not trying to bash Gary there on that one, it was such a huge problem in that game. I mean, you could argue, I think Alabama would have won if they had somebody who was snapping the football decently in that game. So, yeah, Washington, the receivers on a fast track against Michigan secondary, like, this is must-see TV if you ever could see it. Do you think Michigan's really well-coached defense? They're going to be in good positions. But if you look at Michigan's schedule this year, I mean, 49th in Sagarin and strength of the schedule. I'm just going to read down through these. We have a little bit of time here, so I'm going to read who they played. East Carolina, UNLV. UNLV, a good offense, but, you know, I'm not on the same level. Bowling Green, Rutgers, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue, Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State, Iowa, and Alabama. Like, there really aren't really good offenses there. I mean, people would say, well, it's Ohio State is the best offense they played. Ohio State put up 24 points, 6 yards per play. Alabama wasn't a good offense, really. That was the team that was better defensively. And in general, I don't think anybody on that schedule is even close to as good offensively as Washington. So this is a huge test even for Michigan. You know, the Big Ten wasn't very good in offense. So I think their defensive numbers, they're clearly a very good defense, but I'm saying they haven't really been tested in a way that most years a Big Ten team would be tested. So I think, you know, Ohio State having some success on offense, 6.5 yards per play, with Marvin Harrison being an elite wide receiver, I think you could argue Washington's three top receivers are better than Ohio State's three top receivers. Yeah, I think DeVore, Grubb, Penix against this Michigan defense is going to be so much fun. I'm really looking forward to this matchup. I think Michigan can do enough to slow them down compared to what we've seen from some other teams. But fast track, like I said, you know, this, I think Washington's going to move the ball. It would surprise me if they don't move the ball quite a bit. My total's a little bit higher than this number, and I do think Washington will have success offensively.
There's not a, like you read through that schedule, there's not anybody that's anywhere close to what Washington does. But, I mean, you could say that for basically any conference out there other than the Pac-12 this year, right? Oregon was pretty good on offense, USC as well. Like, there's a few that you might be able to simulate with. Maryland is maybe the closest comp that Michigan has played, and that was a 31-24 win for Michigan. But the stat line for Taulia Tagovailoa in that game, 21 out of 31 for 247 and two interceptions. They were able to, you know, they were able to shut it down for the most part. But Michigan, I mean, made some big mistakes in that ballgame. Parker, over to you. Like, Kalen DeBoer is just sick with these offenses. I mean, he is, his coaching acumen is absurd. I think he's 104-11 overall. That includes all the NAIA stuff. He's won in every postseason game except for two. I think he's, what, eight? He was 17-2 in the NAIA playoffs. He has won his only bowl game that he's been a coach in. Like, and now he won this one last night. But Jesse Minner on the other side has proven to be really, really good. Like, you've got an NFL mindset on the Michigan sideline with a wide open anything goes from the OC Ryan Grubb on the other side. I'm interested in early downs here, right? Over the last 6 weeks, Washington's offense, number 25 in standard downs PPA. Michigan's defense is number 24. Are there any surprises maybe we could expect on this side of the ball?
Well, I'm certainly interested to see what happens with Washington's rushing attack. Their guards are much worse than their tackles and their centers, but it's not like Alabama where there's a big asymmetry. I feel like yesterday Michigan was really able to exploit just the left side of the line wasn't able to really do much. And I think it'll be a little more balanced with Washington there. You know, Jalen Milroe completed zero passes under pressure yesterday. Michael Penix, you know, was 38, completed over 50%, was able to create a lot there. So interested to see kind of, especially in those big situations. I mean, yesterday, Michigan was just able to just pound Alabama with pressure. And they basically let Isaiah Bond get kind of what he, you know, Michigan's top or Alabama's top target on the season. They basically let him get what he gets all season. You know, five targets, 47 yards, 11.8 yards per reception, but nobody else had anything at all in the pass game. And so I'm interested to see that with Washington's kind of distribution of targets. I mentioned this, alluded to this a little bit earlier there, but I mean, Odunze has the lion's share, but I mean, Polk and McMillan, both there as really, really tough options. If you look at their average depth of target, too, it's really nice. Odunze is 15.6, Polk is 14.0, McMillan is 10.0. And so there is just a lot of moving pieces where these guys are going to get layered. I think that alone is something that Alabama couldn't even hope to replicate. I mean, Alabama was going to have to line up and just out-physical and not make mistakes against Michigan. And we saw how that went. Washington actually has a lot more leeway, you know, pending the run game, which we'll talk about, because they do have multiplicity in the pass game in a way that I frankly, I mean, outside of Ohio State's wide receiver room, when we knew what they had at quarterback, I don't think anyone's even come close to what Washington has here this season. I have all season Washington fifth on early downs EPA, Michigan's defense ninth in early downs EPA allowed. So that right there is I think super important, just because generally good offense beats good defense. Can Michigan dial anything up that you know Washington's not prepared for? Are they going to sit back and say, hey, it's not worth it to pressure Penix, we're going to try to make him those tightrope throws and think we have the athletes? What are they going to be able to do? The other thing that kind of stands out there with the rush rate is, you know, Washington not running the ball a whole lot. Obviously, they're 11 percentage points less than the average team in terms of rush rate, but they're 42nd in EPA per play in rush, and they were fifth in rushing success rate. So they're still successful. They're cleaning up those short rushes there. If Johnson can't go, knowing the guards and kind of the A gap, how is Washington going to run at all and take any pressure off of this passing offense, especially on the edges with what Michigan has there? I think that's a really big concern, because that kind of takes away a get out of jail free card with, you know, those third and short situations where Washington could pick it up. If they've got to pass more, that potentially exposes Penix to pressure he hasn't seen, especially in the interior. But, they match up really, really well. The only two stats where there's kind of any asymmetry at all are that rush rate EPA per rush, where Michigan is 12th in rush EPA allowed and Washington's 42nd. And then in field position, Michigan's first in starting field position allowed, Washington 31st in starting field position. They capitalized last night on a couple of short field drives. I think that if Michigan can avoid the turnover, can avoid the special teams nonsense that we uncharacteristically saw yesterday, you know, make that a little bit longer of a field for Washington, that'll go a long way as well.
Let's flip it around. Let's reverse it. Let's talk about the less heralded side. That personally, I think will be the deciding factor in the game. and that would be the Michigan offense against the Washington defense. Now, over the last 6 weeks of the season, Michigan is number 13 in havoc allowed. Washington's defense is number 70 in havoc created. But, you know, the Huskies were able to rattle Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers, especially late in that game. Those last four passes, for sure, they were right in his face. Over the final 6 weeks, Washington's defense, number 114 in standard down success. Michigan's offense, number 42. So if Michigan can stay ahead of the chains, you know, keep the ball away from Penix, they're in really good shape. When it comes to passing downs, Washington's defense, number 45 in PPA allowed. Michigan is number 64. So, again, that's over the full season for those stats there. This one's going to be very interesting to see exactly who shows up in the key spots. Kyle, I want to start with you again on this side of the ball. The Michigan offense, they are running, you know, 55% of the time, but J.J. McCarthy looked healthy, had some great throws against that Alabama defense in timely spots. The obvious mismatch is this Michigan running game against Washington's rush defense. The Wolverines, they are number 43 in rushing success for the season. Washington's defense, number 129. The Texas running game was working against Washington, and it kind of felt like they abandoned it. Again, game script, game situation, I understand. I don't think we're going to see Michigan abandon the run. Texas, I mean, it was nearly 70% rushing success against Washington. Blake Corum and that bunch, I mean, yikes. Kyle, talk to me about this side of the ball. What do you see here?
Well, I mean, it's hard to see anything except Michigan having quite a bit of success running the football here. I think they will have a lot of success. I like Search in the chat, too, saying, was Gary just quoting Missy Elliott? That was a good one.
Bit of reverse,
very nice. Chat's always a lot of fun. I like Michigan's rushing game. I think we saw that was the best carry Blake Corum has had in a good while. That one that he had in overtime, Alabama. It just kind of looked like he was, you know, there to get in the end zone. Corum is a good running back for sure. Michigan's off the line against the defensive line of Washington. You know, defensive line yards, Washington 131st in the country. So I'm certainly very concerned that they would give up quite a few yards on that. And as good as McCarthy has been, Washington has to do everything they can to make McCarthy beat them throwing it here. They just can't let Harbaugh, you know, run the ball on 80 or 90% of plays. And we've seen Michigan's willing to do that sometimes. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Michigan just decides, you know, we don't really need to pass. We're just going to run the football over and over and over again. And if they do that, I still think they're going to score a decent amount of points. As I think about this game, I think, you know, you can look at it either way. You can say, you know, Michigan's going to have to score because Washington's going to score more points than what they're used to seeing. But you could also say the other way around. I mean, Michigan's going to score even if they just run. Washington better be able to score and put touchdowns in instead of just kick field goals. I kind of think the over makes sense the more I think about this game. But as far as Michigan in the passing game, Roman Wilson's made enough big plays in the passing game now that I think he's a pretty big home run hitter type guy. I think that crossing, was it Roman Wilson that scored on the touchdown that was the crossing route? That one, I couldn't believe that Bama didn't have anybody to tackle him before the end zone. And that one, that seemed like kind of an innocent play that turned into a big explosive touchdown right away.
It was weird. It was so weird.
Yeah, that was a weird. I thought for sure somebody would be coming and they just weren't coming. I think that Michigan's offense is bound to have quite a bit of success here. And it just kind of has me pointing toward, you know, who settles for field goals and who scores touchdowns could be really important here. Cause I think both teams will get inside the 20 quite a bit. McCarthy, I don't think McCarthy's a great quarterback. McCarthy's one of those guys that afterwards he's there and you go, you know, like he wasn't fantastic, but he finds ways for his team to win. And he comes up with big plays right in the biggest moments. And there's definitely a lot to be said for a guy like that. So I think the offensive line in Michigan against the Washington defensive line is obviously what's going to stand out. I think the Washington safeties and corners are a little bit better than some people think. If you just look at how many yards they give up, you know, as DeVore said in the past, they've been playing from ahead. Other teams, they kind of sit back in a prevent. Other teams get a lot of yards. I think Washington's secondary is at least pretty good. It's just, you know, will that matter as much? You know, Washington needs to hope it does because Michigan's going to try to run it a lot here.
Yeah. Looking at the stats, full season, just raw stats, Washington number 14 in PPA per pass. but they are number 131 in pass rate against. So teams are throwing the ball over 58% of the time against their defense, which is, you know, again, because Washington does get up in these games, so teams are having to come from high. It's very much what Texas did last night, right? It's a lot of passes towards the end of the game, kind of skews the numbers a little bit. But as far as the PPA per rush numbers, I mean, they were number 130 on the season in PPA per rush allowed on defense, and rushing success rate number 129. I mean, it's, whew. Parker, over to you. This Washington defense has been incredibly opportunistic, right? They show up when they absolutely have to in key spots. We saw it last night. The question here is going to be if they can hold up for an entire game against a pretty punishing Michigan offense. What do you see on this side?
Yeah, and there is a little bit of strength on strength on this side as well. Like we talked about against Texas, Washington's pass defense is 16th in EPA per pass on the season. Michigan's defense offense is second, you know, very explosive and very, very high success rate. They're fourth in success rate, which drives a lot of that EPA. The big split comes on two numbers here. Washington is 65th in EPA per rush allowed. Michigan is 14th in EPA per rush on offense. So huge, huge split there. And teams don't rush against Washington very often. They're minus 4.9 rush rate against. And so there will be some kind of selection issues there of, you know, the weaker side of the defense is going to face a lot more volume, which is going to mitigate some of Washington's strength. Now, Washington's scoring behavior, if they can pop off a couple quick touchdowns, does that kind of change what Michigan does? That's also interesting to me as well. Another area that did almost cost them, but they saved it kind of in the end there. Well, Washington's defense has been really, really bad at finishing drives. They're 100th in points per tackle allowed. Michigan's offense is 15th overall, averaging 4.37 points. And so you can see, you know, what Michigan wants this game to be is just, hey, we're Big Ten football. And I know Washington's going to be Big Ten football soon enough too, but saying like, hey, we're going to control the pace, we're not going to make the mistakes we did in the Alabama game, and we're going to rely on, you know, just short quick passes, we're going to rely on running the ball well. I think that, you know, both teams yesterday that lost ran decently well, but couldn't pass. That's where Michigan is really interesting, because they're not as asymmetrical as Texas or as Alabama on offense. They are extremely balanced, and they will generate those quality possessions. You know, looking at the early downs, late downs split, I think will be ultimately probably decisive here. Michigan's 10th in early downs EPA. Washington is 73rd in early downs EPA allowed. Michigan third and fourth down success is 9th, averaging 50.6% conversion. Washington's allowing 40.4% conversion, which is 65th in the nation there. So some clear mismatches overall on that defense. And you get this selection effect where Michigan's just going to say, hey, we know your rushing attack is weaker. We're just going to take off on it. And so I think that that's the game Michigan wants to play. Obviously, they're, you know, 77th in rush rate over expected. Really just want to hammer the ball home. And Washington's defense, 117th in rushing success rate allowed. So if you're Michigan, you've got to be feeling good about how your front seven played yesterday, but you got to be feeling good about how your offensive line can ultimately impose their will on a Washington unit that's not bad. I'm not saying by any stretch of imagination they're bad, but someone that you think you should be able to just line up and run over, quite literally. And I think that's what we'll see Michigan do. You know, you're playing a little bit with house money there. JJ McCarthy with some confidence from last week, and, you know, started the game off really, really poorly yesterday. Can he start getting involved in the run game a little bit earlier and maybe kind of add some dimensionality again, just to screw with Washington a little bit? I think that threat is certainly there, especially if they have a counterpunch to all that crossing route nonsense that they showed against Alabama. You know, if Washington's going to try to adjust into zone out of that or something, I think that getting McCarthy to run, giving him some options, riding on that confidence, they'll try to put up points. It's ironic because I think that Michigan's offense versus Washington's defense is clearly the biggest mismatch here. But I also think that Michigan doesn't want to have to score a lot of points to win this game. I think they want an under. I think they want it to be slow, long drives and kind of cap the explosives on both sides, frankly, because they want their defense to rest a little bit too. So we'll see who can kind of impose their will. I'm inclined to believe that Michigan has a lot more variety up their sleeve, perhaps, than we've thought all season.
The scary thing for Michigan, of course, I mean, yeah, they don't want to allow the explosives, all that. But as we've seen, I mean, the rush rate here, you know, around a little over 40% is what teams normally rush on Washington. You would think that'd be a lot higher considering, you know, the PPA per rush and rushing success rate and all that, how poor that is. But again, if Washington goes up, you know, they hit an early explosive, and if Michigan has one of those snafus like they did in the Rose Bowl, losing a fumble on a punt or something crazy, I mean, you could be down 14 to nothing. I don't know that that early you would have to abandon the running game, but I don't know that that Michigan offense is built to come back from 2-3 touchdowns down. You know, kind of, we saw Texas, and they were almost capable of doing it, but it took some crazy stuff. So I, who knows? It, look, as we all know, there's not just two phases of the game. I was just talking about the turnovers, right? The third phase of the game nearly cost both of these teams in the semifinal games. Michigan muffed two punts. They lost one of them, and they missed an extra point that cost us our Alabama plus 1.5 bet, and they also missed a field goal in the middle of that, which, you know, all that stuff cost us the under as well. Washington muffed and lost a punt. Their kicker had a killer day, went 4-of-4 on extra points, 3-of-3 on field goals. Everything seemed fine as far as their return game goes. For the season, Washington is number 5 in special teams grade at PFF. Michigan is number 35. Parker first and then Kyle. What stands out with these units to you? And of course, you know, what do you think is going to happen in the national championship game? We haven't even gotten to picks yet, but Parker first and then Kyle.
Gary, I'm not going to lie to you. LFG in the chat made a really good point about Arizona State, and I got sidetracked and looked something up. So I have no idea what you just asked me.
Oh, sorry. The special teams. What do you think of these units? And then what do you think is going to happen in the title game?
Yeah, so I mean, I think I mentioned the only asymmetry there is Washington, you know, has okay starting field position, but Michigan's defense is really, really tough on it. These teams are 1-2 on the other side of the ball in terms of Michigan's starting field position on offense and Washington's starting field position allowed. So a short field might matter. I'm almost inclined to believe that, you know, variance decreases as your sample size increases. And so I think we're going to see fewer special teams nonsensical plays in this in this matchup, just because we did see some, you know, it's almost like you call attention to it by it happening in the first game. They're saying, oh, we're going to figure this out. I wouldn't feel a pun if I was either of these teams. Frankly, Washington, given that your offense is your strength, and Michigan, given that you feel like Washington's defense is the weakest unit on the field, I just wouldn't do it. I'd brush 11. But I think that that's probably unrealistic. I think they will field them and give their athletes chances to kind of make the game, given how important they were. But generally, do you want me to say my numbers now? I haven't even looked at what time it is. Yeah, it's 11:52. So I've got this. I really don't have a super strong edge here, except in kind of one play. I've got this Michigan by about 4. I've got the total at 56. Both of those are right on the number. So congrats, market, for taking all my edges and soaking them in there. So I do think that Michigan is the stronger team. And I think that absent a lot of variance, they should be able to kind of control the pace of play. It'll get a little pointy for them, but I think, as we saw yesterday, they're more than capable of kind of coming out of their shell and scoring when they need to on offense.
What is your projected score on the game?
30-26, rounded.
Okay, so team total over on both of them.
For both.
Because the team total is 28.5 and 24.5. Kyle, what about you? Special teams, and then what do you think is going to happen here?
I mean, I guess what we learned yesterday is, like, if you want to get in a championship, just muff a punt earlier in the game. That's the way to do it. But, I mean, special teams, everybody, it was on display for everybody, the Michigan special teams, they cost us bets. They almost cost them the game. And I think it's a pretty clear advantage for Washington, especially when it comes to, punt returns. Michigan, I feel like their field position edge, and Parker, correct me if I'm wrong, their field position is largely because of how good they've been at turnover margin. You know, they've gotten a lot of turnovers. That's given them some great field position. I don't think it's so much like they run back kicks so far, or they get punt returns so far. So if Washington can take care of the football, I think they can have a special teams and field position advantage in a game like this. So, you know, in this one, Michigan's offense has a bigger edge over the Washington defense. Washington's offense against the Michigan defense is, you know, pretty great matchup. You know, that's what everybody's looking forward to the most. And then the special teams, Washington advantage. I'm going to take a team total over here for Washington. My thought process for this is, I think Michigan just hasn't seen anything like this. And you're on a fast track. You're not going to have any kind of weather elements or anything like that. Fast track, Michael Penix, DeBoer, Grubb, with all this time to, you know, I say all this time to prep. It's not quite as much time as you usually have to prep for a championship game, but it's plenty to have a good game plan. I think Michigan will give up some points here, and Michigan will score points too. I would lean to both overs. And like Gary said, you know, the team totals being a little bit lower than I would have expected based on a total sitting at 55.5. I think both these teams will score here. I'm going to take Washington team total over 24.5 for my play here.
My power rating on this for the full season has Michigan by 6. My stats model full year has Michigan by 15, and that's a projected score of 38-23. And over the past 6 weeks, it's got Michigan by 8. So my total on the game is 61. I'm going to stay away from the total here. Five factors plus talent. I'm showing Michigan number 1 on the full season, Washington number 6, and it gives Washington a 39.6% chance of winning the ball game. I'm going to ride with the Wolverines here. I took it at 4. I still like it at 4.5. So I'm going to lock that thing in, and I'm going to take the Michigan team total over 28.5. I think in the chat here, of course, LFG had some pretty good points here, and it's kind of the way that I was thinking. I feel like this Michigan defensive line is just a strength across the entire front seven. Like the whole four of them will be able to get some pressure inside, which you're not going to be able to get to Penix. But I think, just guessing, they're going to be able to at least make him uncomfortable coming up the middle. It was kind of the same thing that Arizona State did. You get some push in that middle, and there are ways that you can slow down that offense. I think Michigan probably still going to be able to score plenty of points. I've got the team total over 28.5. Parker, you're taking the Washington money line, right? Plus 163.
I'm going to take the Washington money line here because it's end of season and the record doesn't matter anymore, and that's fine. But mostly just because, like, out of principle, I have an edge here. I have this as Washington 39% winning, and the implied odds on, what is that, plus 163, I believe, have this closer to like 36%. And so that's a couple percentage points edge. So if I'm going to take anything here, I'm going to ride with a little bit. I'd call that, I'm going to put it on. I'll stand by it on my record and everything, but I'll call it more of a half unit or a pizza money. Just saying, all right, if I'm going to take some action here, I think I've got a little bit of an edge on Washington. I like the upside. I like the variance in terms of the tail and what their possible outcomes are here. So good game, excited to watch it. But yeah, I have a slight edge on Washington money line right here.
And Kyle, you're taking the team total over 24.5 for Washington, correct? Oh, we got you muted.
I have taken the team total over.
Yeah, team total over. So I've got Michigan minus 4.5 with Michigan team total over 28.5. Parker is going to take the Washington money line, and Kyle is going to have the Washington team total over 24.5. So crazy games, crazy thoughts. We're going a little opposite here. I'm going the opposite direction of the boys, but we'll see. At least somebody's going to win out of this, right? Hopefully. we hope. I think there's a couple of spots in there where this thing could hit and we all lose, but we'll see. We'll see. For the last time today, if you have not already, go ahead and like the video and make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. Let's do the golden ticket reveal. As with every show, you guys know one of us is holding a golden ticket for the entry to the Tough Truck Contest. So let's reveal who has got that today. Let's see. It's a little sideways here, but that'll work. And it's me. That's right. I get the penultimate. I can live with that. So we'll announce after best bets and whatnot who has got that. I don't know that we've got any questions in the chat. I think everybody just wants to talk about the games that happened and whatnot. No real questions, and that's okay. If you do have questions, you can, of course, make sure and toss them into the comments, and we'll do our best to get to you. We try anyway. I'm scrolling back through to see if there's anything else. Gentlemen, before we go over these best bets one more time, is there anything else that we haven't talked about this game that you feel like we might need to throw in here?
I haven't said the word vibes once today, and I just feel like that's egregious.
I think Washington's got the vibes, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think that Dylan Johnson injury is so, like, that's huge, right? Because they really started leaning on him. That's a big part of why I'm going Michigan here, because I don't think there's a threat to run the ball. And if Michigan can just drop guys back into coverage and say sick them like up the middle, like if they can get any kind of pressure in the middle of that line, yikes, right? We've seen ugly Washington games, and they can win ugly games, but man, this is a different deal. 65 Acceleration jumped in and said Kerry's got the ticket after we did.
boo that man.
Boo. Kyle, what about you? Anything that that we didn't bring up that maybe we need to jump in?
So I was sitting here thinking, like, what's the way that we all lose if we're going to lose on this? Like, Michigan wins, like, 17-14, the team total stays under, they don't cover the spread. Gary, that would be just terrible. But also, you know, wouldn't be too shocking at the way things have ended here, certainly. I think it'd be surprising if the two offenses can't have success in a game like this. And I'm looking forward to this game. I think this is a fun matchup. You know, we didn't really expect this matchup from weeks and weeks away necessarily, but you know, I think it's fair to say, you know, you could also say Oregon, they lost those two games to Washington, and some people said Oregon wasn't really as good as people thought. Maybe Oregon just lost to a really good team. You know, Washington is really good. If they're a top two team, you know, then Oregon's very good as well. They just happen to lose to a team that's a little bit better. So that is a fun matchup. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad we get to break it down again on Monday.
Yeah, the coaching matchup is going to be fantastic. Oh, I cannot wait for this. Cannot wait. All right, let's get two best bets. Let's do our recap on this. We just talked about it, but let's do it again. Why not? Parker, what are you taking in this one?
Washington money line, that's +163.
Not too shabby. I am going to take the Wolverines at -4.5. And to go along with that, I'm going to take the Michigan team total over 28.5. I think they can run over this defense, and I expect a big game from McCarthy here. Kyle, what about you? What is your bet thus far on the national championship?
I'm going to take Washington team total over 24.5.
All right. Best bets are now out of the way. Remember, claim your 125% sign-up bonus and your 30 risk-free bets for 30 years of BetUS. Of course, BetUS giving away a tough truck. So let's see who the winner of today's entry is. Tim Zelick said Gary has the ticket. Tim, congratulations, sir. You are today's winner. Hit us up on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, at BetUSTV, and send a DM over there to claim your entry. If you didn't guess correctly, of course, you can still win the truck. Every college football show that we do, you can win one on there. For more details, of course, head over to BetUSTV.com/toughtruck. Of course, make sure to keep an eye on the latest odds over at BetUSTV.com/odds. And make sure and join in the action. BetUSTV.com/join. That is going to do it for today's show. We will be back again next Monday, January the 8th. It is the 8th, right? Yes, January the 8th. to preview the national title game, you know, by diving into some prop bets and more stuff. So make sure to set your reminders. That way you can join us live, and you'll get another chance at winning the BetUS Tough Truck. Again, I say it every single week. You guys that tune in live, you are the lifeblood of the show. Y'all have been incredibly supportive. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being here through such an incredible season. This has just been a wild, wild ride of a year. You can follow the dudes on X. Kyle is at Kyle Hunter Picks. Parker is at Stats of War. And you can follow me at Winning Cures. With that said, for BetUS, where the game begins, God bless college football, and we will see you all again on Monday, January the 8th.